Hello and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm your host, Apostle Debbie Viggs. Let's get started again this morning with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. The Bible tells us that, you know, God is a faithful God and he wants us to walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner that is worthy of him. So as we pray this prayer, you know, you can personalize it and pray along with me, but I'll pray it over all of us. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning to thank you and to give you praise. We thank you for all that you have done, all that you continue to do, and for all that is to come in our lives. We are grateful to you, Jesus. We say thank you, Father, for the many blessings you've blessed us with. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us and guiding us and leading us. We invite you right now into our homes, into our lives, into our presence, onto this broadcast. We ask that you'll pray alongside us as we pray Colossians 1, 9 through 14 over ourselves. From the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer inside acquaintance and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. I give thanks to you, Father, because you have qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, and the light. And I thank you, Father, that you've delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you for all this, and it is in the mighty name of Jesus, with thanksgiving we've prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, we've been talking about revelation, the need for us to have revelation from the Word of God, because revelation will cause a revolution in our life. It'll cause transformation in our life. So there is need for us to not only just study, and, you know, it's not enough for us to just know stuff from the Word of God. It's not enough for us to just know God, but we need to have a revelation of, you know, the mysteries that, you know, in the Word of God. Jesus said to you, it has been given to know the mysteries. And so that knowing there is not just having mere knowledge of the mysteries, but it is talking about having revelation behind, you know, the mysteries. And one of the scriptures I said that is really, you know, important for us to use when we pray, or before we study the Word of God, is Psalm 119 and verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. You know, this is super important that we pray that before you study the Word of God, because we are not only asking for our eyes, you know, our natural eyes to be open, but we want our spiritual eyes to be open as well. And, you know, that's why Apostle Paul, when he prayed for the Ephesian church, in the book of Ephesians, we see that, you know, what we now call the Ephesians prayers in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3. In fact, if you read the book of Ephesians, you'll find that, you know, he specifically prayed for the Ephesians church that they would, that God would grant them the spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of God. And he said, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. And so the Ephesians prayers, you can pray those for yourself as well. Lord, you know, before you study the Word of God, ask the Lord to grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into the mysteries. Remember, Jesus said to you, it has been given to know the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom of God. And so Apostle Paul is praying here for the Ephesians church that they would have that revelation, that they would get deeper insight, you know, and become deeply and intimately acquainted with God and have knowledge of who God is. Not just the surface knowledge, but deep knowledge of who God is, truly getting to know who God is by having the eyes of their heart, you know, the eyes of their heart flooded with light. That flooded with light, they're speaking again of revelation. You know, the eyes of your heart, it's not the natural eyes. He's speaking about the spiritual eyes so that they can be flooded with revelation. That's what it means there when he says flooded with light, so that you can know, stand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. So you see that it's important for us, you know, this I was reading from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through, 19, but you can, you know, you can pray that from verse 17 or from verse 16 all the way through verse 23, you can pray that over yourself. You know, that's the first portion of this, what I call the Ephesians prayers. And then you can also pray Ephesians chapter 3, and you can start that from verse 14 all the way to verse 21. And pray that over yourself as well. You know, every day you can pray the Ephesians prayers over yourself. It's super important, because if you want to be able to have victory in every area of your life, it's not enough to just, you know, have surface knowledge. You need revelation of the Word of God. Now, yesterday we talked about a couple of things that revelation does for us. We know that from the book of 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 4, that we are told that revelation infuses divine nature. It imparts divine nature into our lives. And we looked at different scriptures of what it does. We know that also revelation will terminate our sorrows. It terminates our tears. You know, once you have revelation, that area that was causing you to be, you know, sorrowful or fearful, you know, when that light comes, it terminates all that. We know that it also, revelation also provokes sanctification. You know, but the Bible tells us that whatever is born of God does not, or whoever is born of God does not sin. And so because, you know, the seed or the word of God is in that particular person. And so when you have revelation of the word of God, it frees us from, you know, the bondage of sin. Also, revelation grants us dignity. You know, it provokes faith. You know, you can't doubt what, you know, what you can see through your spiritual eyes. You know, when you see from your spirit, you know, from the perspective of your spiritual eyes, any type of doubt dies. You may not see it physically in the natural yet, but when once you begin to, as you meditate and you begin to get a glimpse of that picture of what it is, the end picture God wants for you based on that word that you are meditating upon, you grasp it with your spiritual eyes by faith. You can't doubt it. You know. That's how we quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And so another attribute of revelation is to boost destiny. If you go to Genesis chapter 13 and you read from verse 14 to 15, this is a very powerful scripture here. It says, "The Lord said to Abraham after Lot had left him, 'Lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which you see, I will give to you and to your posterity forever.'" Well, God told Abraham to look, and all that he saw, God would give to him. That was, you know, God wasn't telling him to look with his natural eyes. You know, from where he was, he couldn't see all the land that he wanted. He had to see it by faith. You know, he had to look north and see it by faith, look south, look east and west, and see all that God wanted to give him, all the land that was surrounding by faith. You know, and once he saw that, God promised to give him all that land. And so you and I need to begin to see what the word of God says about us. We need to see ourselves possessing the promises of the word of God by faith. You know, once we see with our spiritual eyes, once we have that revelation, God promises that he is committed to giving us that which we see. That's exactly what he told Abraham. So destiny is a function of revelation, because you can only go as far as you can see. So how far do you see? How far out are you seeing for yourself? You know, that's where dreams come in, and I don't have time to start talking about that. But that's why God has given us imagination, so we can see as far as, you know, our spiritual eyes will take us. I usually use this analogy of, you know, you could be sitting, you know, right where you are right now, but you could see yourself in another country. You could see yourself walking around. You can imagine yourself traveling somewhere and seeing yourself in this country doing what it is you love, whether it's vacationing or whatever, but you could see yourself doing that. Well, if you're able to imagine that, that's what God wants us to do. Take his word, see it for what it is. You know, as we meditate, we begin to see ourselves. We let it revolve around our minds, and you know, that whatever that word that God has given us, the promise, we meditating upon it, letting it revolve around our minds to the point where it causes us to begin to see, have a picture of what the end result is supposed to be based on that word. And as we begin to see that, then we can take possession, because you see, there is a law that says as far as you can see, then, you know, as far as you can see, that is what God can give you. If you see right here, your seeing is limited, and you're just seeing what your circumstances are dictating to you, then that's all you'll get. But if you can see yourself out of those circumstances, you see yourself, you know, being, you know, promoted by God, see yourself, you know, living the life that the Word of God promises, then as far as you can see, God says he is committed to giving that to you or doing that for you. Well, God is not a respecter of persons. You know, we know that, you know, whatever he says to one, he will do for us. He you know, we see if he's committed to giving Abraham as far as his eyes can see, you and I, God is committed to giving us the same as far as our eyes can see. So we can only take deliverance of the inheritance that we can see. In the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, the Bible says, "And now, brethren, I commit you to God. I deposit you in his charge, entrusting you to his protection and care. And I commend you to the word of his grace, to the commands and counsels and promises of his unmerited favor. It is able to build you up and to give you your rightful inheritance among all God's set apart ones, those consecrated, purified, and transformed of soul." Amen. So this is what revelation will do. You know, once you have revelation, the word of God can build you up. The word, you know, the promises in the word of God, you know, can give you your rightful inheritance among all God's set apart ones. Amen. And so another thing that we know about revelation is that it enhances divine health. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22, it says, "My son, I attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh." Amen. And so the word of God, that's why it says, attend to my word. Pay attention to the word of God. Consent and submit to my sayings. We've got to submit to the word of God. When we don't let the word of God depart from our sight, what is that? That is meditation. When it says, let them not depart from your sight, you know, it's not that you're carrying the Bible all day long, looking at the word of God all day long. No, when it's in your heart, you begin to meditate upon it. So it's speaking about, let that word not depart from your spiritual sight. You know, let it not get away from you. As you spend your day, you know, going about doing whatever it is you do, you can be meditating inwardly on that particular word of God for healing. And let it revolve around your mind. Think on it, meditate on it. You know, as you do that, he says, that means you're not letting it depart from your sight. And then it actually says, keep them in the center of your heart. You know, so we have to keep that word in the center of our heart. And then it tells us, For they, the word of God, these promises of God, are life to those who find them. So if you want life, you need to find the word of God, the word on healing. You need whatever promises of the word of God, that's what produces life. And then it says healing and health to all their flesh. And so the word of God itself will bring you the healing and the health that you desire. You know, as long as you meditate upon the word of God, it doesn't matter what type of attack is going on in your body. The word of God will bring you the healing and health that you need. Also, revelation, but you can only receive that. You see, this is where you can have confessions of the word of God. Let's say healing confessions, and you're under attack and you're speaking those words, taking those healing confessions, and you're just confessing them, just regular confession, just on the surface, but nothing is changing. And you're wondering, well, yeah, but I'm doing the healing confessions and nothing seems to be changing. Every day I'm doing the healing confessions. Well, it's not because, you're saying them out that things will change. You have to have revelation of what you're speaking out or what you're confessing. If you don't have light, the mysteries are not open to you as you confess that word of God, then it's not going to, bring about any results. It's not going to transform you. It's not going to bring about that healing that you desire. That's why it says, let them not depart from your sight, meaning meditate upon it. And once you meditate upon it, you gain revelation of what that word is saying about you, then at that point you will find that that particular word that you're standing on or the confessions that you're standing on produce the health and the healing that your flesh requires. So that's a perfect example of people who tell me most times, oh, yes, I'm doing the healing confession. I've been doing them every day. I'm doing the confessions. Nothing is changing. Nothing is happening. Well, it's because you don't have revelation. You're just repeating sentences. You see, it's one thing to just repeat sentences on a piece of paper or, in an email or whatever. It's another for you to actually have revelation of what you are speaking over yourself. And so when you have revelation of those confessions that you're making over yourself, that's when change happens. Not when you just repeat them like a robot, it doesn't make sense to you just saying them just to say them. That's why you don't see any change in your situation. In Psalm 112, verse 1 to 3, the Bible tells us, praise the Lord, hallelujah, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His spiritual offspring shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Prosperity and welfare are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. So this is telling us that when you have revelation of the word of God, it guarantees supernatural wealth. So true wealth is a product of the revelation of the covenant of abundance. You see, remember in Deuteronomy 8:18, the Lord said, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to gain wealth, so that he may, establish the covenant that he entered into with our forefathers. I'm just paraphrasing right now. But what I'm saying is, when you have an understanding of the covenant of wealth, because there is a covenant of wealth, and it's based on this verse here that God has given us in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. And let me read it. He says, but you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. That power there is ability. He who gives you ability to get wealth. And I always add, so that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So it's still a covenant for today, even though he entered into it with our forefathers, starting with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob many years ago, but it's still a current and valid covenant for this day, because it says, as he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So it's a present day covenant. So in order for you and I to see supernatural wealth, you know, or to, you know, to possess supernatural wealth, we need the revelation of this covenant of abundance. Okay, without the revelation of the covenant of abundance, you'll be toiling. This is where you find people as, oh, but I'm giving. Nothing is changing. You know, I'm giving all the time. I'm doing what I think is right. Nothing is changing because you are yet to have the revelation. You are yet to possess light in this area of covenant, the covenant of wealth or the covenant of abundance. Because true wealth, the one from God, I'm not talking about worldly wealth. I'm talking about kingdom prosperity. You know, in every area of your life, not only financial, it is a product of the revelation of the covenant of abundance. Now, in this covenant of abundance, there are things like, you know, obey God with your tithes and your offerings. You know, there's first fruit giving. There's, you know, free will offerings. You know, it has to do, especially in the area of finances, you know, financial prosperity. There's, you know, kingdom investments that you make, different things like that. But it's all contained in the covenant of abundance or the covenant of wealth. And the key is right here, Deuteronomy 8:18. You shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to get wealth so that he may establish his covenant. So when God blesses you and I, you know, financially, it's not because of what you and I have done. It's because he has a covenant in place and he wants to establish that covenant because he swore to our fathers, our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that this covenant is for, you know, for every generation. And until the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Amen. And so it is a present day covenant. And so in order for us to really, you know, tap into supernatural wealth, we need to be, you know, well-versed. We need to have revelation of this covenant of wealth. Amen. And so to provoke a supernatural turnaround in any area of your life, you need to go after the revelation that is found in the Word of God, because divine revelation is the bedrock for a revolution in whatever area you desire a change. So it's so important that, you know how, you know, the Bible has different covenants that it lists. We'll talk about that going forward. But, you know, God is a covenant keeper. He promises that he will not alter or break or change the covenant which has, you know, the word which has come forth out of his mouth. And so if God established a covenant in an area, there's different covenants. There's a covenant of peace. There's a covenant of wealth, all these different ones. You know, if God established that in a particular area, then that's it. You know, it's established and it's a present day covenant. So even this covenant of wealth, it's a present day covenant. A lot of Christians are, you know, toiling in this particular area of financial prosperity because they are yet to receive light in this particular area. God says in Psalm 89:34, my covenant will I not break or profane, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. He's not going to change the covenant that he established because, you know, with our forefathers, because it's still a present day covenant. So it's super important that, you know, we have revelation in these particular areas. Now, another reason why we need revelation of the Word of God is because every supernatural manifestation is provoked by revelation. In the book of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 20, we see here Jesus, after he had, before I read that, I had a scripture that I wanted to give you. Yes, let me go back to my notes here. I've given you that. I also want to show you something in when we're talking about, you know, supernatural wealth. In Job chapter 22, verse 21 through 25, This is what it says. This is an important verse that I wanted you to have as well. It says, acquaint now yourself with him, agree with God, and show yourself to be conformed to his will, and be at peace. By that you shall prosper, and great good shall come to you. Receive, I pray you, the law and instruction from his mouth, and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty and submit and humble yourself before him, you will be built up. If you put away unrighteousness far from your tents, if you lay gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brook, considering them of little worth, and make the Almighty your gold and the Lord your precious silver treasure. This one is super important because unless you fully understand what this verse is saying, you know, you won't enter into, you know, or receive the revelation that you need for supernatural wealth. The first thing is acquaint now yourself with him, talking about God, agree with God, and show yourself to be conformed to his will and be at peace. By that you shall prosper and great good shall come to you. Then it says, receive, I pray you, the law and instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. What does that laying up the words in your heart mean? It's still talking about you having revelation, insight, you know, into the word of God, having that light, you know, and meditating upon the word of God. When you lay it up in your heart, it's talking about meditating about the, you know, meditating upon the word of God. And so submit and humble, if you return to the Almighty and submit and humble yourself before him, you will be built up. What is that built up talking about? It's the same thing that God said to Joshua in Joshua 1:8 when he told him, he said, you know, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night so that you may, you know, prosper, you know, and so that, you know, you may have good success. You know, it was Joshua's responsibility to enter into prosperity through spending time in the word of God, meditating upon the word of God day and night. This is what the, you know, this is what the Bible says, that if Joshua spent the, you know, time in the word of God day and night, God would prosper him. Amen. And so it's very important for us to understand these verses, to understand these scriptures so that we can, you know, get away from dealing with, we can get away from, you know, living the life of, you know, hardship and toil and lack and things that Christians, you know, daily and, you know, are dealing with that we are not supposed to be dealing with because God has given us everything through his revelation. I want to read to you this same verse in what I just read in Job 22, verse 21 through 25, through the Message Bible. It says, give in to God, come to terms with him, and everything will turn out just fine. Let him tell you what to do. Take his words to heart. Come back to God Almighty, and he will rebuild your life. Clean house of everything evil. Relax your grip on your money and abandon your gold-plated luxury. God Almighty will be your treasure more than wealth more wealth than you can imagine. Amen. And so that's why this is super important for us to fully understand what it is that God desires for us when we talk about revelation. Gaining revelation and insight into the word of God will cause us to inherit that which God has promised us from his word. And so because we're out of time this morning, what we'll do is continue tomorrow morning by his grace, and we'll pick up right here from Mark 16 and verse 20, which I wanted to start sharing with you today, and hopefully by the grace of God, we'll be able to conclude either tomorrow or by Friday. Thank you for joining me once again this morning. You all have a blessed and prosperous day, and by God's grace, we'll speak tomorrow morning. Be blessed. Bye-bye.